Rosh Hashanah appeared, and the full moon of the month of Phalgun in Navadvip. And many people in the world, even people in India, don't know who is Rosh Hashanah. According to the Vedic scriptures, in Pada Purana, there is a description that says there are yuga avatars for each of the four yugas: Satyug, Tritiyug, Dwapara, and Kaliyug. And during each of those yugas, there's a particular form of spiritual practice that is most effective for achieving spiritual perfection. Let's see if we can hear that. In Satyug, Jayate, process of meditation. During the time of Ramachandra, which was Tretiyug, the process was Yajna, a Vedic sacrifice. During the time of Lord Krishna, during Dwapara-yuga, the process was Archana, or Deity worship. And the process during our present age, Kali-yuga, the process most effective for achieving spiritual perfection, is Nam-sankirtan. In Brahma-vaivarta Purana, there's a nice verse that says the same thing. Harir Nama, Harir Nama, Harir Nama, Eva Kevam. Hello, Nasyeva, Nasyeva, Nasyeva. Gatya Anyuka. In common conversation, when you repeat something three times, it's a strong emphasis. Right? Come and sit down. Come and sit down. Come and sit down. You might say to yourself. You might not also. Emphasis. You should think it. And in Sanskrit, it's a rule. It means absolute. So, Hare Nama. The chanting of the holy names of Hari. Hare Nama, the name of Hari. Kavo, in this age of Kali, Na, Asti, Eva. There isn't an alternative. There is no alternative. There is no object in evidence. Other processes can be taken up. They are taken up. People in the danger. Kali, they may also undergo some process of meditation or some form of Vedic sacrifice or some form of deity worship. The specific, and there's benefit to be derived from each of those things. But the message is for achieving the real purpose, the ultimate purpose of each of those processes. Just like Valmiki, in the Satyug, how long did he undergo meditation? The duration? 60,000 years. Who lived for 60,000 years? In Kaliyuga. To achieve spiritual perfection took an unbroken, uninterrupted, long period of time. Vishwamitra Muni, he was engaged in meditation, and he heard the tinkling of the ankle bell, the vena cava, meditation hold. He felt, and then it started over again. Who has capacity? So, benefit is there, but spiritual for the attainment that's meant to be achieved, not suitable for the faith, and so forth. So, because this is the age of power, another explanation that's given is, in each of the successive ages, life duration is diminished by a factor of 10. 100,000 years. 10,000 years. 1,000 years. 100 years. We don't have the capacity of 100,000 years. Not an option. Some yogis may live for a long time, even in their present age. The description of that. Vilvamangala Thakur. You heard his name before? Vilvamangala Thakur. A great acharya who hailed himself in India, later he went to Vrindavan. Lived in Vrindavan. Brahmakund, nice place in Vrindavan. He is said to have lived 350 to 400 years. Even in our present time frame, that's huge. That is exceptional. Most of us shouldn't go by those kinds of exceptions. So, the process of achieving spiritual perfection in the age of Kali, by design, must be very accessible for people in general. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it describes, Sayinam Sayushat Shabhya Kalabhasna Yudhijana Manda Sumanda Matayo Manda Bhagya Nipadhita. In short, the days of Kali is an ocean of souls. How near the ocean is Hiraja? It's a very difficult time where good qualities have greatly deteriorated or are gone. The duration of life is shorter. Their virtue is diminished. Their capacity for concentration, their tendency to become angered is increased. Their compassion is decreased. And above all, just by the name of Kali, they're always quarrelsome, over trifles or quarrel. Age of quarrel. Hugging. Very difficult. Those things that are they work, the vocal cords work. They work, that's good. The symptoms of the stage of Kali are such, this is what the sages of Naimisharanya are saying, that in Srimad Bhagavatam, that because of the difficult conditions of the age of Kali, very difficult for people in general to take the whole of the data, study them comprehensively many, many times, and glean from them the essence. It's just not going to happen. So the approach needs to be very simple and very direct. And therefore, Hare Nama, because there's a chanting of the holy name. So this is the Yoga Dharma, according to Bhagavad Gita. Nam Sankirtan. Because by chanting the holy name, one is directly in contact with the personality of Godhead, even when it's unqualified. There's another verse from Bhagavad Purana which describes that Nama Chintamani Krishna the name of Krishna, it acts like touchstone. Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. I want to get to the last one. Purna Shuddham Dityamukto Abhinatvam Nama Namino. Jina means separate. And Abhina means not separate, or the same as. And Abhinatvam means having the quality of sameness of Nama and Namino. Nama and Namino. The name and the object name are non-different. Krishna and the name Krishna are non-different. That's not, you can't say that about something material. Let's say you're thirsty. So you say, one, what happens? Because the object and the name of the object, or the word and the object name are different. But in transcendental sound vibration, the object and the sound of the object are the same. Krishna and the name Krishna are not different. Krishna's presence one can directly associate with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not just by fixing the mind in complete trance of meditation, with the senses completely controlled and the mind completely controlled and the body in a certain posture and everything in perfect alignment, and maybe you'll be able to concentrate enough that you fix your mind upon Paramatma, the Lord of the heart. Etc. The process of yajna, such that just by mantra, one can ignite the fire from Avani wood. Who can do that? We're having a fire of yajna in the temple yesterday, and as if a lighter would work. The mantra. It has the power, a formidable power to ignite the fire from mantra. A great, great qualification. It's not present in the case. Benefit can be derived by the process that's achieved that direct contact with the personality of Godhead. Very, very special. And Purna Shuddho Nitya Mukto. Purna Shuddho, completely pure. Nitya Mukto, eternally liberated. A teaching that Krishna gives in Bhagavad Gita is, according to the association we keep, we develop quality like the association we keep. Sangha Sanjayate Kama. According to the Sangha that we keep, we develop qualities like that. My children, parents are very concerned with who their children spend time with. Right? Because according to the association, they're all quality. So it's not just true for children, it's true for us. And those with whom we associate, we develop quality. So it's nice to have good friends who help us stay in goodness. We'll just keep a sadhana sangha, then it will help us develop spiritual qualities and sadhana sangha. That's ideal. We'll just speak of association with Purna Shuddho. It becomes Shuddha also by that association. And the access to Purna Shuddho, personality of Godhead, is possible just by calling his name. Hare Krishna. Just like that. Krishna, there's no time delay. You have to somebody on the other side of the room and you say, hey, somebody on the other side of the room. It may take some time for them to get to the other side of the room to hear. But Krishna doesn't take any time. At once. It is formless. Krishna in his fullness is present through the sounds of holy names. So that principal means of deliverance to achieve spiritual perfection is presented in each of the four yugas by a yuga avatar. Again, according to the Padma Puran, there are different categories of avatars. And one of them is a movie by that name. The categories of avatars are Guna avatars, those in charge of the modes of nature, Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh. Leela avatars, very popular, class avatars. Kuma, Matya, Varaha, Vishnu, Arshara, so. Leela avatars. Manvantar avatars, Manus, there are categories of avatars. Shakyadesh avatars, avatars that are empowered incarnations of the Lord. Prithu Maharaj is an example. He's a living entity, but he's bearing the potency of ruling, Palana Shakti. He's usually endowed with that quality of the Kumara, carry the Lord's Jnana Shakti. Or Lord Brahma carries the creative potency, Srishti Shakti, like that. So, Shaktyavesha avatar is another category. And another is the Yuga avatar. There are forms of the Lord that descend generally at the beginning of each Yuga, for the purpose of establishing the Yuga Dharma, the means of achieving spiritual perfection, particularly for that age. So, in the beginning, towards the beginning of Kali Yuga, the Yuga avatar, according to the description found in the Yuga scripture, one of those descriptions is in the Vishnu Sahasranam, in the Bhishma Parva section of Mahabharata, Vishnu Sahasranam, shouting names of Vishnu. And one of them is describing the Yuga avatar for Kali Yuga. It's described, he will come, and it will be of golden complexion. That's the Gora, that's Gori. Gora, golden confession. And along with his associates, they'll engage in Nam Sankirtan. They'll accept the order of Sannyas. There's no other incarnation. Think about it. If you think of any incarnation of the Lord that accepted Sannyas, answer, no. Because in this case, Gora, or Goranga, because the sins were golden, he took the role of his own devotee, the devotee of Krishna. And to teach the same teaching that Krishna gave in Bhagavad Gita, but to show how to do what the teaching that Krishna gives in Bhagavad Gita, Dharma-dharmam, Sarityaja Vami Kami Sharanam Raja Aham Kam Sarva Pavitya Moksha Yashami Bhavya. The final instruction of Krishna Bhagavad Gita is that one. Sarva Dharmam Sarityaja Mam Ekam Sharanam. I'm surrendering to you alone. So, how to do that? How to surrender to Krishna alone? Krishna came to teach. This is how you do it. I'll show you. He did so in the role of the devotee of Krishna. So, he didn't reveal his identity as God. He conceal this identity in the form of the devotee of Krishna. Show us how to surrender to Krishna, how to dedicate body, mind, and word to the service of the Lord. He accepted the Sri Danda, known as the Sanya Danda, Nyati Area Danda. So when I had to make a sannyasa danda one time. So there's three halves. Is it?
Yeah, on the altar.
Sannyasa danda. So sannyasa danda in Vaishnava tradition is not eka danda, it's three danda. There's three halves that go from the top to the bottom. And they signify the submission of body, mind, and word. Exclusively in the service of the Lord. There's another rod that goes down most of the way, and there's a curved part. You see? So that other is the soul, Atma. When I bow down with my soul, along with my full utilization of body, mind, and words in service of the stream. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted that he done the sannyasa. To dedicate himself exclusively to Krishna's service. And in his dedication to Krishna's service, he showed how to surrender to Krishna. But in addition, he gave means of achieving the full stage of spiritual perfection to the chanting of the Holy Name. There's a nice verse in the 11th canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, where the Madhu Yogendras, there were sons of Rishabhdev. You heard of Rishabhdev? Rishabhdev was the father of Bharat Maharaj, after whom the whole planet was named Bharat Varsha. And then as the influence of Vedic culture diminished, it became India. Bharat. Father of Bharat was Rishabhdev. And Rishabhdev was also an incarnation. Rishabhdev was also the, or from Rishabhdev comes the Jain religion. So Rishabhdev, had 100 sons. A lot of sons. The leading, the eldest son and chief of the Mubarak Maharaj, who later became king, following Rishabhdev. But nine of those sons became Uttama Adhikari, perfected soul. Their qualification was the topmost stage of spiritual realization. They became known as Nandavya Gogendra. Those Namdi Yogendras were instructing one king, King Nini. And they were explaining about the incarnations of the Lord. When it came to describing the incarnations of the Lord in Kali Yuga, here's the verse. Very, amongst the followers of Lord Chaitanya, a special verse. Krishna Varnam Dvasha Krishna. Varna means category. So he's under the category, it's like Varna and Ashram, under the category of Krishna. But Tvisha Krishna, but he's not blackish, golden in color. Sangha Gautam Vashta Parashatam. Sangha, he came, when he descended, he came with his assembled associates and his astras. The weapon, and Parshadam. There's various family members or from the spiritual world, those who are intimately connected with him. Because whenever the Supreme Lord descends, he comes with all of his associates, and when he returns, the fight with Ram and Lila. All of his associates ascend with him. And they all decided to
get their heads from the book.
Vajyai Sankirtana Pranyaya. He taught that the sacrifice of the chanting of the holy name, this should be performed by everyone who feels the Dharma. Yajantihi Sumedhataha. Yajanti, Yajya means worship. He is worshipped by those who have Sumedhataha.
For Sumedha?
Good intelligence. That's a different Ayurvedic medicine called Sumedha. Taste and honey. Helps you have sharpness, good memory. Sumedha. That's an Ayurvedic medicine. This is spiritual intelligence. Sumedha. Just like Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. Siddhāni bhūdhiyotam samyīnamāṁ bhūdhiyam Heshāṁ Satyatya yuktanāṁ. Unto those who are always engaged in my service, Bhajatam Siti Purvakam, who serve me with complete love and affection. Siddhāni, I give bhūdhiyotam bhāṁ, spiritual intelligence, bhūdhi. And with that, the means by which they can come to me. Yena ma upi nanti te. How did you come to this? That's spiritual intelligence. That is intelligence. How to reach the goal of life. Not just how to get a degree and then you can get a nice job and you can have a nice standard of living. That's one kind of intelligence that's really useful. The spiritual intelligence is the intelligence how you use that in such a way that you'll not have to take birth again. Ever again. The perfect solution to life problems. That's Buddha, spiritual intelligence, or Sunnata. So the Bhagavatam, or the Navyavendas are teaching Jainini that those who have good intelligence in the days of Kali, it's hard to find people with good intelligence in the age of Kali because qualities are diminished. But those that have good intelligence in the days of Kali, they take this chanting, Ram Sankirtan, Yajai, Sankirtan of Kaliaya. They take the chanting of the holy name that they're using room. And you can do it in your home. You don't have to be very proficient in musical instruments, but you can just have mala. This can be used as is the practice in all of the traditions, some form of prayer, where one can call, vibrate, and sound of Krishna's name and you be present with him. And by being present, you become purified. And consciousness becomes transformed. Nama Chintamani Krishna. Chintamani is touchstone. Touchstone is very special. It can change by contact with Chintamani or touchstone, it can transform base metal into gold. That would be very valuable to have. Thrown out into the metal. So the name of Krishna acts like touchstone. It can take ordinary consciousness and transform into spiritual consciousness. Of the same quality as Krishna. Of the same quality. Purushuddho, Nityamukto. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we were celebrating yesterday, his appearance day, and just sharing a little bit with you about appreciating the significance of one would carry the Yuga Dharma as the Yuga avatar for presenting what the scripture says is the primary means of achieving spiritual perfection in this age. A little comparison was done of different religions of the world to see if there is similar emphasis upon God's name in other religions. And guess what? Practically universally, other religions have similar emphasis. So it's not this religion versus that religion. It's a principle. Universal principle. Particularly effective in this age. Srila Prabhupada has given this simple example. Supposing you have an illness and you go to a pharmacy and you say, my dear pharmacist, can you give me some medicine? And they'll say, which one? Oh, medicine. I have some illness, I'm giving you some medicine. Well, if you have a prescription, you go to the physician and they give you a prescription to tell you which medicine. Oh no, I didn't go like this, I just want some medicine. Similarly, each of the ages of mankind has a particular condition and has a particular medicine or remedy, most effective for transforming that malady into wellness. So scriptures similarly describe what these ages of mankind are and what the particular most effective remedy is. And that's true, as is true in all of Vedic process, sound vibration, Shruti, sound vibration, that was meant to be heard. And specifically, of all the scriptural teachings, to make it very, very simple, very compact, and easy, transportable, easily digestible, and even a child can do, even someone born in America can do. The take on me. And become purified. And it's not a matter of culture, or language, or tradition, or birth, or intellect, or socioeconomic status, or nothing material. I'll just share this very briefly. I live in China this past year. I knew this before I went, but I asked again, and it was confirmed. In the Chinese language, there's not one word for God. In the Sanskrit language, how many words are there? So many. Ishvara, Paramatma, Parabrahman, Parahokshatra, so many different names. There's not one. Words are symbols of something. You have a concept of something, you want to express the concept as a word, as a symbol. So that they have no words means they don't even have a concept. Consider it. Linguistically, they don't have concept. But when Chinese people chant Hare Krishna, the same thing happens as when we chant Hare Krishna. From the chanting of Hare Krishna, Chaita Dharva Namarjana, the heart becomes cleansed. It's that Prabhu Mahadavadi Nirvavam, these teachings of Lord Chaitanya, the blazing fire, Mahadavadi, the blazing forest fire of the show existence, the sight, etc. So it's not just not when you're born. It's not dependent upon the material. It's dependent upon the soul having an eternal relation with God. And you bring that sound vibration of God's name, which is not different than God, in contact with the soul, and it awakens the original consciousness of the soul. It's very practical time. It's like you have a matchbox. Maybe the striker is there. Now you got this nice match. And you take that, take it to a candle. Bring it in contact with that which is the body. Come out. The chanting of the holy name works like that. It's like the match on the matchbox. Fire comes out. The dormant consciousness of the soul comes out. It's not culturally specific or linguistically specific or intellectually specific or birth or caste or religion or nothing material. It's of the soul. It's universally. It was a profound experience. Just being people that I can't even converse with because they speak another language that I speak. And in their language, they don't even have a word, which means in their minds, they don't even have a concept of God. And by chanting Hare Krishna, they become so devoted. And again, it's not like it's sentimental. They can explain the teaching. It's amazing. When our spiritual master, Prabhupada first came to America, he was dealing with the counterculture of the 60s. You know what that means? Hippies. People that, you know, very uncultured. And knew nothing about nothing. It was like starting from kindergarten. And at some point in time, the devotees became a little converted in the teachings of Bhagavad Gita and the chanting of the holy name. And they asked Srila Prabhupada, can we go into the public? Or the next park we want? Can we go into the park and chant? And that way, not just those of us in our little storefront here, but the public, they can also benefit from the chanting. Prabhupada was very smile. It was very nice. That's well. Make sure you have a permit so we'll be okay with the New York City police. We got a permit to go into the park. She chanted for 2 hours. A crowd of hundreds of people crowded around looking to watch this. People dancing and singing and shaved heads and when they finished chanting, Prabhupada stood up. He was going to address the public. It was a very pregnant moment, very profound. What's the person going to be? And his first words were, I've not come to teach you something new. I've come to remind you of that which you have forgotten. This is for people who never heard it before. But within, at the soul level, this knowledge is already there. As love of God is already there, knowledge of God is already there. Knowledge of the details of everything that's revealed in the revealed scriptures, its knowledge is intrinsic within us, and therefore it's called enlightenment. It's this awakening. That was just dormant. Like a seed. I gave the example of an ash, striking an ash, but another example is a seed. Within the seed, there's a whole plant or tree that bears many, many, many more seeds. and fruits and flowers from one seed. It makes generations and generations just from one seed, everything that they're stored. It just needs to be germinated or fructified. So that watering process of the seed is compared to the hearing of spiritual sound vibration, the chanting of the Holy Name. That's the watering process of the soul. And that which is within the soul sprouts or comes out very naturally. That's the yuga dharma for this present age. Starting with the chanting of the Holy Name, and gradually with that purified state of consciousness, hearing the scriptures, which the dulled brains of Kali Yuga can't penetrate. So rather than trying to penetrate, it's descending knowledge, actually. Not spiritual, it's not intellectual acumen that's required. Because otherwise, just become a PhD and translate Bhagavad Gita and you got it. But that's not how it comes. It comes by descending method. So, we are honoring yesterday Lord Chaitanya, his Gaura Purnima, his appearance day, and the Purni, for bringing this wonderful process of chanting the Holy Name. And then along with it, other forms of Krishna Katha, hearing topics about Krishna, hearing messages of Bhagavad Gita, words spoken by Krishna. I understand those of you that are gathering here and reading Krishna books. It's a 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, the summary form. And those of you who have chosen, you can see if you're chosen, very attractive. You need to a college graduate and they're attractive. Krishna's all attractive. That's what Krishna's means. The syllable Krish means to attract. He's all attractive because he's Bhagavan. When Vyas compiled Mahabharata, when he wrote the Bhagavad Gita section, he didn't say Sri Krishna Uvacha. He said Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. And Acharya taught it this way. There may be many people with the name Krishna. Sri Krishna Uvacha. But Bhagavan, there's one Bhagavan. Maybe they may have the name Bhagavan. Bhagavan means one who possesses Bhagavan, the opulence of the Supreme. Parashramuni, the Vishnu Purana describes it. He has all beauty, all knowledge, all renunciation, all strength, all pain. Six opulences in their fullness, this is Bhagavan. So, when Krishna speaks, that potency of the Supreme is within those words. But if we're trying by this ascending method, we'll not be able to enter, but if we receive in a descending manner, through the different succession, as Krishna says, it's how the message of Bhagavad Gita is to be understood, parampara, the different succession, evam parampara, Imam Raja Shayogu. By that process of receiving Bhagavad Gita in the specific succession, then there are details of how we are to act. Not only the consciousness becomes purified, now how do we act in that purified state in the world? How do we do our work? How do we live socially? How do we address ourselves to details of life? They're presented in Bhagavad Gita, in principle. So, there's no part to share with mine.
English. Thank you for coming to Purdue. And so it's very rare that a sadhu comes here to Purdue. So, but how can we talk about the sadhu sangha? How can we take sadhu sangha when then, you know, if a sadhu may not come by, how can we take?
I think the word of Krishna and the Gita. And in a discussion manner, the love of the Sati. So in discussion manner, you just have Krishna's word. Try to understand what is Krishna saying. Meaning of understanding what Krishna is saying is provided by Acharya in their commentary. Basically, it's taking from the commentaries of previous acharyas and presenting simple language that humans understand in their modern time. So through the verse and the purport from our acharyas, try to discern what's the main point. Is that when you're getting the association of Krishna and diverse acharyas, the center of universal form? You bring your consciousness to that message, you're getting their association. You can somehow bring Ramanujacharya here or Madhacharya here, that would be very nice. If that's not possible, for a commentary. And in a form that is presented with realization in modern terminology that makes it even easier. And then to discuss what's the main point and how do we apply this? Here's a chance for practical application. And come together and, just as you did, as cheerful. Congregation and in the home. That's application of what he's teaching us. Souls aren't exactly human, but develop consciousness and so on. Concept of eternal existence in both directions. That's sufficient. There, in the language of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna indicates that every living entity is eternal, part and parcel. Mam eva amsa jiva loke, jiva bhuta sanatana. Sangha, sanatana, the living entity is eternally, by fragmental part. Amsa, part. Every living entity is a part, fragmental part of the Supreme, eternally. So, mm-hmm. in a family, may it not happen, but sometimes it does happen, some child growing up becomes defiant and says to the mother and father, I'm leaving home. And they plead with the child, please don't leave home. We love you very much and we'll work out whatever the difficulty is. Please say, I'm leaving. You can say yes, or you can say no. I'll give you the chance to say yes, but I'm leaving. And defiant. And they leave. Now, do the parents forget the child? The child may try to forget the parents. And it can go on for a long time. Long, long, long time. The connection is broken. But willfully, the parents are always inviting the child to come back. The room is here. We love you. You won't bother to say, that's what difficulty you have. Or you're gone. You won't say any of that. Just stay calm. So that the child is now growing up and living their own life and paying no attention to their mother and father. So it's like that, living as a being. Bhagya Mukha Ji, the language of beautiful Swami, turning one's attention away from the Supreme. It's a free will choice. Love has free will within it. You can say yes or no. The no option is there, even when we're saying yes. It's still an option. But once you say no, maybe the yes option is still there, but not active upon it. I'm leaving. So in the language of Bhagavad Gita, Raga Dvesha Samutina Dvandava Mohini Bhagavata. Dvesha, with there's some adversity. You have an attitude for Krishna. Dvesha is strong. Part of the problem is there's Raga. There's one who is supreme. And I want to be supreme. Raga. And it's like, someone wishing to sit on the throne of the king. But there's a problem. There's someone sitting on the throne of the king. Vajrasya. Raga, Vajrasya. Overcome by that duality of desire and hate. Dvandava. Mohina, Bharata, the living entity becomes deluded, moha. And that's our material existence, deluded by features of duality, attraction and repulsion, happiness and distress, pleasure and pain, honor and dishonor, etc. The whole world of duality, our domain. Trying to be God. When in fact, there already is one. So, if we give up our God project and turn our attention to the Supreme, that natural state is restored. And until that time, we're busy with our God concept, and that can take many, 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 many years. Okay. And to think of the sense that there's Tamasi Ma Jyotir Gama. Zoom up the darkness and go to the light. The Jyotir Gama, Prabhupada has used that phrase from the Back to Godhead magazine. You turn back to Godhead. He would use that phrase in his writings, right? So, just as you said, if we are originally with God, and now our attention is elsewhere, it's restoring that relationship with a child. It's left home decides, this is the program I thought it would be. They literally are human as Krishna's friend. They have that rasa, rasa rasa. No, it's not necessarily that Krishna meant because you're in front of your heart, now you can understand. Just like for us, Krishna is our dearest friend. For all of us. We have friends. But our dearest friend is Krishna. His disposition towards us is always warm and friendly. And if we have friendship towards him, our towards him is like that too. Like with your friend, you can find anything. Krishna is your neighbor. Arjun had that disposition for him. He had his brother. Krishna was his neighbor.
Thank you.